Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has promised that Congress will not shut down the government or threaten to default on the national debt. And to do that, they'll need to pass a spending bill after the August recess and then address the debt ceiling. The Bipartisan Policy Center predicts a deadline for raising the borrowing cap. It's going to fall in late November or December. Steve Bell is the Senior Director of Economic Policy at the Bipartisan Policy Center. He joins me now with more on the budget outlook. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Tom.
Well, it's been probably a year since we last spoke to you, and it seems a little bit like Groundhog Day here on the budget front. Tell us how you come up with your date for talking about the debt ceiling.
What we do is every day look at the Treasury statements. We look over the last 5 years and see how the trends have been. It gives us a pretty good idea when we think Treasury will run out of these extraordinary measures they're now using. As Secretary Lew said, in October, they'll be nearing the end of those extraordinary measures. So we still think it's going to be sometime in November. It could get into December, but sometime in November, when the Treasury can no longer pay in, you know, completely on time all of its bills.
So right now, some of those extraordinary measures include, for example, dipping in or borrowing, I guess, against people's G fund in the TSP.
That is correct. The entire G fund is now being used by Treasury to pay bills.
That's a scary thought. And so, I guess maybe the bigger question here is, as we started out here by saying, is Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says we're not going to shut down the government, and yet even under a Republican majority this term, the Senate still has not gotten any budget bills done. Now, understanding the president might veto whatever they do, but at least the House is getting its bills done, but not the Senate. Is there something systemic in the Senate that nobody can fix?
I think some people would say this, that the filibuster rule prevents the Senate from doing things as quickly and smoothly as the majority in the House, but it was intended that way by the framers of the Constitution. It's frustrating, but it does give protection to the minority, in this case, the Democratic members of the Senate. 2 years ago, the same complaint was leveled because it benefited the minority, which was then Republicans. But there is a way to get appropriation bills done. In the many years I was up there as a senior staffer, we were able to get appropriation bills done on a very regular basis. Eventually, we came to this notion of an omnibus bill, or at worst, the so-called continuing resolution. You know, one thing about what the Senate Majority Leader, Mr. McConnell, said, he has great control over what happens in the Senate, but he has no control over what happens in the House. I don't think the Senate will be a serious problem, but I do think the House, for a number of reasons, even though it's passed all of its appropriation bills, I believe it's going to be very difficult to get bills out of the House that will be acceptable to the Senate. You have Planned Parenthood, and you have a variety of other issues that are part of House bills right now that are very unlikely to be able to survive in the Senate. So while Mr. McConnell should never be underestimated, it is also true that he really has control only over his caucus in the Senate, and he may not want to have the government closed, shut down, and I believe that absolutely, having talked to his staff. But we have to understand that there are at least 40 to 50 Republicans in the House that are going to find it very difficult to vote for almost anything which would pass the Senate. That means that the Speaker, John Boehner, is going to have to deal with Democrats once again, and that causes real fractures in his own caucus.
And though when you look at the budget and what the Congress has to do, there's the military, there is Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. I mean, that has to be appropriated every year, even though it may be so-called non-discretionary. I guess maybe this is the unanswerable, but, you know, Planned Parenthood and things like that are very tiny parts of the budget that benefit just a few people that somehow have had their hooks in the federal government for a long time, unlike something that is broad-based, like, I don't know, Health and Human Services,
Medicare,
Medicaid, and operation of national defense. And so Is there any hope that people could say, well, you know, too bad about Planned Parenthood. That one's just going to have to go overboard in the interest of getting the country going for all the things that benefit, presumably, everybody equally.
Well, Tom, you're now being logical and rational. And so you've
I've been accused of that.
Yeah, well, you disqualified yourself for membership in certain caucuses in the House and Senate by being that way. Of course they should do something about Planned Parenthood because it's become such a huge political issue after the video that was released nationwide. But there are certain groups that believe politically they can be advantaged if they look like they're pro-woman and can characterize people against Planned Parenthood as being anti-woman. And so you have these larger political questions, especially with the Senate up for grabs next year, that make things complicated. It's unfortunate most Americans don't know much about where we are in national defense and the various serious cuts that are happening there. But many, many more know about the Planned Parenthood fiasco. So, yes, you're right. A $500 million program ought not to stop a several hundred billion dollar defense program. But that's kind of where we are right now. And as I say, it's for back home politics and it's for special group politics that we have this. I think we are headed for the following. We will have a continuing resolution at last year's levels, essentially, and that's probably going to be for 2 or 3 months. At that point, they will have to do something about the Highway Trust Fund. They will have to do something about Export-Import Bank. They will have to do something about all of these lingering so-called tax extenders. There's about 50 of them that have not been dealt with yet. And they're going to have to face at some point increasing the debt limit or extending the time in which the debt can be paid. And looking at all those coming together, I think it's going to be an extremely difficult October and November. I will tell you what Senate staff tell me. They're making no plans for Christmas.
Yeah, it's going to be, yeah, right. That's what we've been hearing also. We're speaking with Steve Bell, Senior Director of Economic Policy at the Bipartisan Policy Center. And looming over all of these bills are almost every time the House, every time the House passes a bill, the Sean Donovan, the Director of the Office of Management and Budget, sends a letter on behalf of the White House threatening a veto. And so what's your sense of how serious they are about vetoing that, if that, in fact, would cause a shutdown of the government?
That is a very important question. So far, the Senate Minority Leader, Mr. Reid, has been able to keep bills from passing that would require a presidential veto. And so over the last 2 or 3 years, most of the political fallout has affected the Republican Party. They're the obstructionists. Now it's going to be a little bit different, and I think Mr. Reid will continue to try to keep bills from passing because the president has said he will not sign a full-year continuing resolution for spending for the appropriations, and he will veto a number of other bills that have been suggested, and some of which have been passed in the House. So rather than risk the notion that perhaps Democrats are as obstructionist as Republicans, I think Mr. Reid will try to keep things that are obnoxious to the White House from passing. But this is the big kind of what I call the kabuki dance that's going on right now. Who's going to be blamed when we can't pass appropriation bills, we can't deal with the Highway Trust Fund, we can't deal with tax extenders? Right now, this is a game-placing kind of effort. Both sides trying to say, well, it's the other guy that's holding it up. And I think that it's likely that Mr. McConnell is going to have to make a budget deal, and the question will be whether the House will be able to pass that. Again, if they can't pass it in the House, it's likely that Republicans will be blamed for being obstructionist. And I don't know any cure for that because you've got the so-called Freedom Caucus, these 40 to 50 members of the House Republican Caucus, who frankly are not going to vote for removing the sequester caps, the caps on spending, who aren't really that concerned about defense spending, and who have these small, relatively small issues like Planned Parenthood that make it impossible for them to vote for a larger bill. So I think, despite what Mr. McConnell has said, that we have at least a 50-50 chance of a government shutdown. If you'd asked me 6 months ago, I would have said, oh, it's only a 20 or 30% chance. I would have been wrong, I think, in that case.
And let me ask you about the other issue that came up. It seemed like this was more of an issue in the first term, maybe because the deficits were larger. But there was really a national discussion at that time about the size of the debt that was being added to each year by the size of the deficits. Now, the deficits are about half of what they were in 2009, 10, 11.
Right.
But they're still pretty big. I mean, you know, there's still a half a trillion dollars
right.
added. And that whole discussion, in the meanwhile, the Fed is keeping the interest rates generally low. So the Treasury hasn't had an increase in the rates that it's paying on the debt. But how long can that go on? And why do you suppose that whole question has ceased to even be part of the debates that I've heard?
Well, you know, I agree. You noticed that in that funny debate, the two-part debate that the Republicans had, the early one and then the later one, only one person, John Kasich, the former House Budget Committee chairman, then governor of Ohio, he's the only one who raised the question of balancing the budget, reducing the debt. In fact, he was very pleased to say accurately that he had been part of the famous 1997 balanced budget work. We had a balanced budget for 3 years, and he was a key player in that. But other than John Kasich, no one else even mentioned it, and none of the questions from the moderators touched on indebtedness or the deficit. And meanwhile, just slowly but surely, our debt is increasing to where soon it'll be over 100%. Of our gross domestic product, that is all of the economic activity we measure in this country. And 100%, with CBO saying without changes in law, we will soon be at 150%, those are pretty outrageous numbers. Most people think that about 60% debt to GDP is an appropriate, if high, but it's nevertheless a livable, sustainable kind of level. So right now we're about 40% higher than that, and without anybody caring about it one way or the other over the next couple of years, we'll soon be between 120 and 150% of GDP. You say to yourself, why isn't anybody paying attention? It's because nobody wants to do what has to be done to get the deficit under control long term. Notice one important thing. Not a single solitary universal or comprehensive debt reduction bill has been produced by either a senator of either party or a House member of either party. Now, they talk about it, but when it comes right down to slowing the growth of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, no one has been able or willing to put together a plan. And with the loss of Senator Coburn of Oklahoma, it doesn't look like anybody's going to do it during this Congress.
Well, that's probably a discussion we'll have to continue with. Right now, Steve Bell is Senior Director of Economic Policy at the Bipartisan Policy Center and former Staff Director of the Senate Budget Committee. Steve, always great to have you on.
Well, thank you very much, Tom, and we'll talk to you probably in a couple of months.